WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. The day after the New Bedford election. And, of course, we can talk all about it at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And you're going to have two new faces on the city council next year. You're going to have two new faces on the school committee. We knew we were going to have two new faces on the school committee. We knew we were going to have at least one new face on the city council. But what is surprising is that that new face brought in a lot of the vote. So if you haven't already read the results, we have them at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you missed Mike's story at the top of the hour, we can go over it all. But essentially, James Roy is going to be your new counselor at large, replacing the not seeking re-election Linda Morad. So the other four incumbents were all re-elected: Ian Abreu, Shane Burgo, Brian Gomes, Naomi Carney. They were all re-elected. Nice comeback for Naomi after finishing a seventh in the preliminary election. She retained her seat. But the surprising thing was that challenger James Roy came in with the second most votes out of any of the at-large candidates. So he got more votes than Shane Burgo. He got more votes than Brian Gomes. He got more votes than Naomi Carney. The only person who got more votes was Ian Abreu, who for the last, you know, multiple elections has been the top vote getter. So, I think if that speaks to anything, that combined with Scott Pemberton upsetting Maria Giesta in Ward 2, although that is by 17 votes, I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't a recount requested. But I think these two wins, and certainly the number of votes that James Roy got, speaks to the power of getting out there and knocking on doors. Now, I know other counselors did it. Or other candidates did it, I should say. But I would say that the way they ran that campaign, you heard, you know, Chris McCarthy, Mike Limo, when he was calling in, others saying, hey, listen, you know, it might not be my candidate, but you got to respect the campaign that he ran. And keep in mind, this is a guy who started off the campaign in controversy. The first time a lot of you heard his name was in relation to those discussions about his past and seeking to get some court records sealed, which he says he is, you know, well past all of that. But, and by the way, he was successful in getting those records sealed. So I think if you look at those, you know, if you look at that start, it was a bit of an auspicious start. It's, you think, can somebody come back from that? And he certainly did. So your city council, as of next year, will be Councilor-at-Large Ian Abreu, Councilor-at-Large Shane Burgo, Councilor-at-Large Brian Gomes, Councilor-at-Large Naomi Carney, and Counselor-at-Large James Roy. Ward 1, Leo Choquette, won handily against Matt Marco. That wasn't even close. Leo got 71% of the vote. Marco got 29%. Scott Pemberton will be your Ward 2 counselor, provided that, you know, any challenges or challenges to the final vote tally. I mean, again, these are unofficial numbers, too, we should point out. And 17 votes, I don't know if that's a impossible number to overcome in, you know, finalizing those numbers. But as of right now, Scott Pemberton is your Ward 2 counselor starting next year. Sean Oliver, of course, unopposed in Ward 3. Derek Baptiste unopposed in Ward 4. Joe Lopes defeated Renee Fernandez 57% to 42% to hold on to Ward 5. And Ryan Pereira was unopposed in Ward 6. So you wanted change, you're getting it. Whatever kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here, alliance that you thought there was with Linda Morad, Maria Giesta, and others who voted with them, well, that's going to be broken up now because two of them are not going to be there come January. Now, others might be looking at that and say, well, now I'm worried about the progressive alliance between Shane Burgo and James Roy. But I think you've got other conservative or moderate-minded counselors that outnumber the two of them. So yeah, they might work together on some things, but I think overall you're going to get some balance in how those votes are taken. So that'll be interesting to see. I think you've got some fresh blood on the school committee. That's going to be a helpful thing. You know, not that the school committee was not doing things properly, but, you know, just every, you know, getting new faces in there now and then is a good thing. If you want change, you got change. If you didn't want change, if you were worried about, you know, a complete overhaul of the city council because of the experience factor, well, you can feel safe in that too because you got some new faces but also have plenty of veteran presence to guide them along. And I think what was interesting about the discussions last night, and I had on New Bedford Cable News, I was watching Pete Braley and Jane Gonsalves' coverage and their discussions. And then after I finished my story, I was reading some of the other coverage before I went to bed. And the council president, the current council president, did not have great things to say about Scott Pemberton. He said he was shocked by Maria's loss, which is fair. You know, it's fair to say that if you are on the council with somebody for a number of years and that person's been running unopposed and been getting reelected, you know, it's shocked is a fair thing to say, a fair thing to feel. But he questioned Scott Pemberton's plan, or as he put it, you know, lack thereof. So I think that was very interesting. We'll try to get him to comment more on that coming up on Monday when he comes on with us in the 8 o'clock hour. But, you know, he did say, of course, we'll all work together. But I think it's also fair to say many people questioned Shane Burgo's plan when he was elected. You know, Shane's looking at Scott as being an experienced person, and I think people are looking at Shane as being a young person in addition to inexperienced. And I think that, you know, you do have to come in and kind of prove yourself a little bit. And I'll say this about Scott Pemberton. I've known him for a number of years now, working with him on 50s Night and some other initiatives. I did some broadcasts from his hot dog place that he had. And what I will say is he really does want to help people. And I think if you're coming into it with that mindset, you know, the plan shapes up pretty quickly because the people make the plan for you. And also, you know, you can't have a lot of people saying, well, look at all these things that James Roy is saying or Jenny Arruda was saying. You know, these people are saying things that you just can't do as a counselor. Like, I don't think they understand what the role is of the counselor, that they can't do those things. Well, you can't say that and then criticize somebody for not having a plan. You know, you can't say, well, these people think they can do too much and then say, well, they don't have a plan. I actually think, honestly, in that role, a plan equals an agenda. And it's better to go into it without an agenda. But, you know, we can discuss that. 508-996-0500. So I think I gave you all the important ones. Also, obviously, Peter Bertum was the reelected to the assessor's office. That is not a surprise since he was running unopposed. And when the final numbers come out and we eventually get, you know, all the breakdowns of everything, we can dive into it deeper. But just looking at some of these numbers, I mean, Devin Burns ran a great campaign for the second time around, finished sixth, 10.6% of the vote. He sounded in his discussion with Pete and Jane that, you know, I don't know that he sounded like he was excited to give it a third try. I don't think he's thinking third time's the charm, but, you know, we'll see. A lot can change in 2 years. And certainly, people thought he was in the catbird seat. Many people thought he was in the catbird seat. And I think he just got surprised by a groundswell of support by somebody who really, you know, got out there and matched what Devin Burns was doing in terms of getting out there and meeting people and knocking on doors and what have you. So, you know, how many times did Brian Gomes run before he finally got on the council? How many times did Ian Abreu run before he finally got on the council? And when he did, it didn't take long for him to become the top vote getter. So it shows that, you know, with persistence mixed with the right opportunity, it's still there for you. And I think Devin Burns is somebody that would represent the city well. And I think as someone who would do a great job in that role, you just got to get over that hump. A little bit of a surprise. And I don't mean this to be, you know, insulting in any way to either candidate. But if I'm Sean Mulvey, I've got to be thinking to myself, how did I get beat by a guy that wasn't even taking this seriously? How did I get beat by 84 votes by Ian Saunders? It had to have been name recognition. Because Ian Saunders was not a serious candidate. He didn't even know what he was doing. I don't even think he knew what he was running for. His campaign strategy for the last couple of days had been to troll the WBSM and Fun 107 Facebook pages and just keep dropping a screenshot of a post that, you know, says vote on November 4th for Ian Saunders. It was, I had to tell him, like, if you don't stop, I'm going to have to block you. This is spamming. We literally have rules against spamming. Because anybody else that comments on this post is going to get a notification every time you post, and they're going to keep seeing that this is just spamming. And I don't think that he was a serious candidate. I don't think he knew what he was doing, and I don't think that he wanted to win. So I think if I'm Sean Mulvey, I'm just like, how did I lose to that guy? And again, I would say, don't be questioning it too much. It was probably just name recognition more than anything. All right, I'm going to take my first break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
A deadly plane crash in Kentucky, an immigration crackdown in Texas, and is breakfast that important?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Zoran Mamdani has won the New York City mayor's race. Scott Pringle is at his headquarters in Brooklyn.
Well, Zoran Mamdani making history here, becoming the first Muslim New York City mayor. The champagne bottles have popped at the headquarters in celebration, and a roar went up from the crowd. Mamdani, a self-proclaimed Democrat socialist, ran on a platform to make the city more affordable by offering free buses, free childcare, and a rent freeze. His campaign knocked on 3 million doors and got very creative, talking to taxi drivers at LaGuardia, making nightclub appearances, and reaching out to marathon runners.
Nearly 1 in 4 people arrested in President Trump's immigrant crackdown have been from Texas. Border Sheriff Thaddeus Cleveland says that's because, unlike other states, law enforcement there are eager to work with the feds.
Even if there's not a signed agreement, the sheriff certainly work with them as far as letting them come in their jails, conduct the interviews.
Harris County leads the country in ICE detainers. The lockups in San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas have also been in the top 10. Another factor for the large number of immigration arrests is because the state is home to the country's second largest population of migrants. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says at least 7 people are dead after a UPS cargo jet exploded in an enormous fireball while taking off from Louisville's Muhammad Ali International Airport.
We do not, at the moment, have the status of the crew. Watching that video, I think we're all very, very worried about them.
At least 11 people were injured. Beshear called the crash catastrophic and says he expects the death toll to rise because the plane hit 2 businesses on the ground. Video shows the MD-11 wide-body jet rolling down the runway with flames shooting from the side of the aircraft. Travelers flying out of New York's LaGuardia Airport are reacting to the Transportation Secretary's warning about mass airspace chaos.
Sean Duffy says if the federal government shutdown continues into next week, travelers will need to buckle up for an even bigger airspace mess.
You will see mass chaos. You will see mass flight delays. You'll see mass cancellations. And you may see us close certain parts of the airspace.
Duffy blames staffing shortages and says it's gotten worse since the shutdown began, with more air traffic controllers calling out because they're not getting paid. Travelers at LaGuardia are weighing in.
I travel for business, so it will have a big impact on me.
Pay them and let's keep America going.
I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
President Trump is heading to Miami today, where he will deliver remarks at the America Business Forum. It's one of the largest annual global business summits in the Americas, and the event is being held to promote Miami as a global hub for business, technology, and sports. Trump will return to the White House after the speech. Macy's is revealing who will be performing at this year's Thanksgiving Day parade.
The singers behind Netflix's hit animated film K-pop Demon Hunters will entertain the crowds along with Broadway performers from the Buena Vista Social Club, Just in Time, and Ragtime. The celebration will include musical and dance performances by Drew Baldridge, Matteo Bocelli, Gavin DeGraw, and Foreigner, to name a few. The 99th edition of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade airs on NBC and Peacock at 8:30 a.m. in all time zones, hosted by today's Savannah Guthrie, Hoda Kotb, and Al Roker. I'm Jacqueline Carl.
It's been said that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but it may not actually be as important for adults. A new study found that adults who skipped breakfast were just as capable of problem solving and paying attention as those who ate a meal. People who did miss a meal performed a little worse while looking at pictures of food. Children, on the other hand, still are expected to get a boost from breakfast. The study was published in the journal Psychological Bulletin.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
It came down to a shootout as the Bruins beat the Islanders 4-3 at the Garden last night. The Bees host the Senators tomorrow at 7. Celtics and Wizards are at the Garden tonight at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Intervals of clouds and sunshine today, dry, becoming breezy, temps in the upper 50s. A quick passing shower tonight, strong winds developing, especially late, low temperatures in the 40s. Sunshine dry on Thursday, but strong winds at least in the early morning, highs in the mid-50s. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. When that song came out, that was such a nice kind of change of pace from a lot of what was out there in music. And still a great song. I actually heard that the other day. Where was I? I walked into a store. It was when I was in Hyannis. And it came on and I was like, oh, man. Yes, I was in an antique shop. And it came on. I was like, oh, man, I haven't heard this song in forever. So kind of had it in the back of my mind ever since. Wanted to play it for you. We have a new, well, it's a feature we've been doing now for a number of years on WBSM.com, on the WBSM app, on our Facebook page. And that is Wet Nose Wednesday. And what we focused on for the last couple of years was using Wet Nose Wednesday to help pets get adopted from local shelters. And we're still going to do that. We're still going to have featured pets. We're still going to try and, you know, make sure that you're aware that these pets are out there for adoption. But we also want to expand that to have other pet-related topics. And as such, we have brought in an expert that can help us with that. Melissa Vieira, better known as MJ. She is the owner of MJ's Pet Training Academy in Acushnet. And she's going to be joining us later on this morning and every Wednesday for a few minutes to talk about pets, to talk about different things regarding pets. And really, whatever her article will be about that particular week. Her first one is up now at WBSM.com, on the WBSM app, and on our Facebook page. And it's about getting a new dog. You know, you want to adopt the dog, you get one, now what? And a lot of times people get dogs, they're so excited to bring a dog home. Of course, there's an adjustment period. They don't know, when do I start training? When do I start, you know, when is it? When is the overwhelmingness of the dog coming to a new home subsided enough that the dog can be focused enough to train? And already in just talking with her over the last week and her getting this first article together, I've learned so much and certainly things that I wish I had known when I first got my dog. And you can read her article now, and she's going to join us to talk about it after the 8:30 news. And, you know, as the weeks go on, we'll talk about her articles. We'll maybe take phone calls with you if you have pet questions for her and more. So we figured if we're going to be writing about pets and giving pet suggestions and having articles that have to do with pets overall, better to just go right to the expert. And she's been doing this for a long time, writing articles for newsletters and for different websites and pet-related publications. So she's going to share that knowledge with you. And she already has. First article's up there already. We can also continue talking about the election. 508-996-0500. We've gone over the results. I still didn't go get the sheet off the printer, but I have it in front of me with the unofficial vote tallies. Again, it's going to take a little while for those to get certified, to become official. And really, the only place it matters is that Ward 2 race because it is a 17-vote difference. Scott Pemberton defeated the incumbent Maria Giesta by 17 votes. So I would not be surprised if there isn't a request for a recount. But as we've seen, you know, recounts can be controversial as well. Sometimes it's better for people to say, okay, I'll be back in 2 years. And I know that Chris McCarthy has been very critical of Maria Giesta, probably bombastically so, but I live in her ward, and I have since for the last 3 years, 3.5 years. And whenever I've reached out to her with an issue, you know, a constituent issue, I've gotten a response. Might not have gotten the solution, but some of those solutions might have been beyond her. You know, parking was a big thing. We had those, you know, commercial vehicles, the large commercial vehicles parking on our street. We had two cars that were not functioning, that just sat there for years. So there were, you know, different issues that people brought up to her. I didn't bring the issues to her, but I talked to her about parking. That was one of the things that certainly my neighbors were concerned about the most. So, again, I never really had an issue with her, but I don't think that she, in my opinion, handled things the right way in turning her back on the opportunity to come and counteract the things that were being said about her. She did come in that one time with Council President Burgo, but didn't take advantage of, you know, being able to come on during election season and state her case. And I think there's a lot of misinformation that's been out there. I think there's been a lot of things that have been put out that were, you know, not accurate, that were fear-mongering. But we'll see now, because we'll have a new counselor. And again, somebody who I think will do a great job of taking care of the constituents. I think that would be a fine way to build your reputation. You know, take care of the citizens and use that as your way to kind of feel your process out for the working together collectively with the other members of the council. But you also got to be ready to hit the ground running. So I think that Scott will put in a very strong effort to do that and hit the ground running in January. So again, someone who has been doing a lot for the community kind of behind the scenes for a long time, and now he gets the opportunity to be more at the forefront of that. 508-996-0500. And when it comes to the forefront of meat, well, there's the butcher shop and then everybody else way behind them. Because the butcher shop is where you can get great quality meat, cut the way you want it, stuff that you won't find anywhere else. And if they don't have it and you want it, ask, and they'll try to get it for you. We've had numerous stories of people who have been looking for something that they can't find anywhere else. They ask Joe, they ask Eric, and they're able to get it for them, except the kangaroo. They couldn't get the kangaroo. But you know what? I think it's really because Eric thought they were kidding about the kangaroo. He didn't think people actually ate kangaroo. But now that he knows that, if somebody asked him for kangaroo, he'd probably find a way to get it. So that's what's great about the butcher shop. You get that kind of personal touch. It's not like going into the supermarket where you're just buying whatever they're putting out. And you've got to hunt around and see, well, look at this one. Okay, this one. I don't really like the marbleization on this one. You don't have to do any of that at the butcher shop. It's going to be high quality stuff, cut exactly the way you want it, cut for you. Plus all of the great food they make there every day. And all of the other things they offer. It's a real old school neighborhood market. So check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And if you walk out of there empty handed, I would be shocked. Because there's always something delicious at the butcher shop. All right, let me take a break here. We will be back in a few moments.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away my well-lit door. Just a beer melon, beer melon. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family?
And welcome back in. That video is one of my favorite Chevy Chase performances of all time. Just when he walks out and he goes to sit down, he's carrying a cup of water and he goes to sit down and he turns to actually doesn't even turn. He just kind of moves his arm to drop the cup onto the table next to him. But the table is actually a drum stand for a Congo drum. So there's no top and it just falls right through. Hilarious. I asked Chevy Chase the time I got to meet him for a meet and greet. I said, was that improvised? And he said, yes. So he'll be at Rhode Island Comic Con. This weekend, you know who else will be there this weekend and actually doing some stuff with Chevy Chase? Gina Davis is going to be there. Wareham's own Gina Davis is going to be at Rhode Island Comic Con this year. Plus a whole bunch of others. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So many stars. And they just keep adding, even though it's like the week of Comic Con, they still keep announcing people that are going to be there. It's going to be insane. So, maybe I'll see you there at Rhode Island Comic Con coming up this weekend. One thing I do look forward to when it comes to those events is seeing all the great costumes that everybody comes up with, all their cosplay. And there's going to be some great local featured guests there for cosplay as well. Like they have featured guests that have like table setups so you can go and talk to them about, and they'll have different things that they wear each day. And we've got a good contingent of local people who take part in that. Including Hillary and Nick, the owners of Cold Blooded Pets in Acushnet. So you can go over there and, I don't know if you'll even recognize them because they create such great elaborate costumes, but they'll always be happy to talk about Cold Blooded Pets in addition to their cosplay. All right, I got another break here. I got to get in before the end of this hour. Let me do that. We'll be right back. And we're going to be going into the news in a moment. When we come back, we'll talk with you, 508-996-0500. We can talk more about the election, by the way. Paul Coogan reelected to mayor of Fall River. Shauna O'Connell reelected to mayor of Taunton. So we can talk about all that and more when we come back.